A show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are and Rick the Professor Plum.
Oh, just rolling along here. I'm losing track of time. Can't believe it. Just seems like the year just began. And here we are already, a couple of months in. This is just blowing my mind. But anyway, we're taking this hour by hour. That's what we do. Back at another hour, the best in money information. Rolling right along with another edition of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. We're standing by, ready to take your phone calls. I'm Johnny Dean here with Professor Rick Plum, joining me again from Lucia Capital Group. Answers to more of your money questions are coming up, of course. And right now, you got the opportunity to program, so you should do so. Our lines are open. All of them are open, in fact. So you give us a call, 877-PLUM. 877-752-6637. The Brain Trust is here for you, so you want to get on board and ask your questions right now. You can also get in touch with us via the email system, as a lot of folks have done. You go to wealthed.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. Click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. We'll get your emails right here in the studio. One of our many goals on this show is to give you the best in money information. I think we do that very well. There's more, though. You can get in touch with the Brain Trust both on and off the air. If you want to set up a face-to-face meeting with an advisor, to schedule an appointment, or just you got a question that needs to be answered, well, that's why we're here. Call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Your individual goals, your individual needs require a financial plan that is naturally, uniquely tailored to you. Their phone number again, 800-644-1150. Talk to any of the advisors about your situation and get your bucket strategy all set up. That's what we do here, and that's what they do there. 800-644-1150. We thank them for bringing us this hour of the program. Our number on the air again, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We got some emails that we didn't quite get to last hour, Professor Plum, when we were talking about IRAs, traditional IRAs. So before we really get into the rest of that, I want to up from Daniel, who's asking this question of the Brain Trust. I'm 23. I have heard that I should never pull from my Roth, as in never, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever pull from my Roth. I have accumulated some debt that I want to pay off. Would pulling from my Roth be a bad idea?
It depends on the debt and why you're in debt and how much that debt is costing you. If you've gotten yourself into debt through unexpected, unforeseen issues, where it's not just you're using it for life expenses, then and you're in that 15, 20, 25% interest rate environment, then I think maybe doing that to pay off the debt, that one-time debt, the debt that's not what you're using to live on, makes sense. If you're chronically in A3, you probably don't know what chronic is yet, but if it's just one of those things where you're living too high from your needs, incomes, then I wouldn't take it out because you're always going to be in credit card debt and you'll never build up a Roth if you don't do it this way. So it depends on why you're in debt to begin with. And also, if it's a car that's 1.9%, nah. If it's a credit card at 29%, probably I'm taking it out.
Yeah, functions of interest rates and obviously the higher the interest
and
rate.
And why?
Get into the whole debt cycle issue that we've talked about many times. It's actually quite common among some of the younger people.
We've seen it lots of times where people, they take out a 401k loan, credit cards, and then before they get the 401k loan paid off, their credit cards are maxed out again. Mm-hmm. They take the Roth money out to pay off their credit cards, and then within a couple of years, their credit cards are maxed out again.
And they have no Roth left.
And they have no Roth left. They have no. Mm-hmm. People say, I can't afford to start saving for retirement until I get out of this. But they're perpetually at the maximum level that whoever will loan them money has loaned them money. They're never going to get out of credit card debt.
Yeah, so cut up the cards if that's the kind of problem that you have, or just put them off to the side where nobody can use them, especially you. Okay, we have some calls on that. I wanted to finish up some of this Roth discussion, but we had a couple of folks on hold wanting to ask about them, so let's move along. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Mike is up next in Las Vegas. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Great.
I called last week. I was talking about opening a Roth IRA, 59, and I had mentioned my 459 plan at work off is the Roth, and you had said I'm not too old to open it, and
Yes, we brought that up earlier. Yeah,
right, would you? All right, now As far as funding it, the Roth, because I have a meeting with the person in charge of the 457 in a couple of weeks. So, what can I put into the Roth? You said that last year I could fund it with.
Well, if you're looking and you're talking to the person with the 457, you cannot right. contribute to last year's 457 at this point. Now, if that person is going to help you open up a Roth IRA, you can contribute for last year's Roth IRA. You're 59, so you can put up to $6,500 into a Roth IRA for yourself, assuming that you make less than the certain thresholds. And so, you know, $6,500 is the IRA limit.
Now, can I, is that contributions like basically for my savings account?
Yes.
Or? Yeah,
your checking account. It's got it. It's not coming from your, directly out of your paycheck necessarily. It's coming from money you've saved up, and you're going to put You know, write a check for up to $6,500 to the IRA of your choosing.
Okay, so I wanted to find out. Now for this year, I could put another $6,500 in.
Right. Well, see, if we're putting $6,500 in, we code it as a 2015 Roth IRA contribution. That means we still have the, assuming we're continuing to work. We still have the ability to put $6,500 into a 2016 contribution. So right now, you could actually do $13,000 into a Roth IRA. $6,500 of it is last year's contribution. $6,500 of it is this year's contribution, and you just have to make sure the custodian knows that you're making the contribution for both years.
Okay. Once 2020, I would be able to take out. Tax-free, anything.
Any earnings, yes. So you've got first Roth IRA.
Right.
So you've, and you started it, if you make a contribution for last year, in 2015. So you've got tax year 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Those are your five tax years on the earnings. And you're 59 right now, so by the time 2020 comes around, you will have satisfied the five-year waiting period and the age 59 and a half time horizon. So any distribution after the January 1st, 2020 is a qualified distribution regardless of where the money comes from. If you had to roll over a large or a large amount of money from an IRA to the Roth IRA in 2018, that money is also available as a qualified distribution in 2020. And somebody's out there, but what about the five-year rule? The five-year rule on Roth conversions is about a penalty tax. And the penalty tax goes away at 59 and a half. So it's no longer an issue from the penalty side. Now we're just waiting for the earnings side to become a qualified tax-free. Distribution, tax-free. 2020 will do that for you if you started your Roth IRA in 2015, or if you start your Roth IRA right now and code it as a 2015 contribution.
Okay, great. That's a big help.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know, too, Mike. You're going to get the clock rolling, and it goes all the way back to
January
as if
1,
you had made it January 2015.
They're looking at tax years, five tax years. You're going to make this contribution for the 2015 tax year. That's the first one, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Those are five continuous tax years. 2020 is the sixth. Tax year. Mm-hmm. As long as you're 59 and a half at that point, which you will be, because you're 59 now, it's a qualified distribution at that point from whatever Roth, whether you started the Roth IRA in 2019 or wherever it came from, you are qualified distributions.
Another question, I have like a life insurance policy, I have like $28,000 in there. Can I transfer that into the Roth, or would that make sense?
Well, it depends on why you have the life insurance. No, you just take the $28,000 and move it into a Roth IRA. But if you wanted, if you for whatever reason decided that you no longer needed the life insurance and you wanted to surrender it, you could surrender it, take the cash value, surrender value, you know, if it was $28,000, put it in the bank account. There's your $13,000 plus $15,000 to do something else with. But you got to decide, why did you buy the life insurance? Is it satisfying the reason that you bought the life insurance? Do you continue to need the life insurance and will continue to need it for a long period of time? And is that the best use for the money? But so those are separate issues. You cannot do an exchange of a life insurance policy into a Roth IRA. That's two separate issues. I can surrender a policy. I can contribute to a Roth IRA. I can get the money to contribute to the Roth IRA from the surrendered life insurance policy, but I can't just take the life insurance and put it straight directly into the Roth IRA.
All right. If I surrender it, that would add to my tax, if I was taxes.
Maybe, maybe not. There is a basis in your life insurance. The basis is basically the cumulative amount of premiums that you've paid into it over the years. So if I've been paying $3,000 a year for the past 10 years for this life insurance policy, I've put in $30,000. If I surrender and get $28,000 out, no taxable event because I'm only getting my own money back.
Yeah, hey, Mike, look, I got to take a break. So if you have some more questions, feel free to hold on. We'll be more than happy to answer them for you, address them, whatever it is. So stick around. If you have more, 877-PLANNER. We have just two lines open right now, so get them while you can. Ask the Brain Trust your money question. We're here to answer them, and I think we do it very, very well. 877-752-6637. That spells out PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Coming right back. Don't go away. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Get on board.
It's almost like you planned that.
Are you impressed? Because nobody really ever is, you know? Nobody even knows. They're listening. What's he talking about? He's just playing
posting
the radio
it.
Guy. Posting the song, yeah. All right, anyway, 877-PLANNER is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. You want to email us? Yes, of course you do. You go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. You can also find out where the Brain Trust is going to be next. We've had some great workshops so far this year. There will be more if you just check it out at wealthed.com at the Live Events tab. You'll find where the Brain Trust will be. And if you don't see the Brain Trust anywhere near, by the Brain Trust, I mean Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, and the local advisors. If you don't see your city anywhere near where we're going to be over the next couple of weeks, you can email us and say, hey, why don't you show up? It'll be too late for this series, but we can maybe add it on to the next series. So just put your request in there at wealthed.com. And as I said, find out where the Brain Trust will be near at a city near you. Show up. It's all free. Sign up there at wealthed.com. Our number, 877-PLANNER. We were talking to Mike. You should throw something in very quickly,
right,
Professor Plum.
We were talking about Mike in Las Vegas about funding a Roth IRA for 2015 and 16, and he also came up with the idea that maybe the money that he was going to get funded could potentially come from his current cash policy. And while he talked about how that may or may not work, we were not recommending that he cancel his life insurance policy until he has an actual review of what the policy is doing for him. Is it working the way he needs it to? Is it working in a way that it should work for him? Should he keep it or not? And then if he should keep it, he's got to find another funding source for the Roth IRA. So they're two different issues. Canceling the life insurance just to fund the Roth IRA, yes, you can do it, but the question is, should you do it? Look at why we have the life insurance in the first place. Does it fill a need in the portfolio, in the life that he has? Because it may be that he keeps that life insurance and tries to find a funding source from the IRA, the Roth IRA, from a different area.
Yeah, it's never good to let go of a life insurance policy if you still need life insurance. Or at least, at the very least, review why you have it and what other options might exist before you actually cancel it.
But life insurance is one of the few things that, well, first off, any contribution to an IRA, whether it be Roth or traditional, has to be made in cash. You cannot transfer assets to a Roth IRA unless they are coming from a traditional IRA. You can convert existing assets, mm-hmm. but you cannot contribute existing assets. But a life insurance is one of the few assets that are out there that are specifically prohibited from being owned inside of a IRA. So you definitely can't transfer the life insurance in. First off, you can't transfer anything in other than cash, and it can't even own it even if you could. So.
Now, Mike, referring to him, our last caller, he had said that he was one of the people who had called, I think it was last week ago, he called and asked, said that he didn't think he was a candidate for a Roth or should do a Roth just
because he was too old.
On his age. At 59, he thought he didn't have enough time. We should reiterate, Professor Plum, that the age, while it's helpful to be young, it certainly doesn't cancel out the need for some people to have a Roth IRA.
I mean, being younger has a large advantage for a 401k, but that doesn't mean that Roth IRAs are not an acceptable course of action for somebody 59 years old, like Mike is. He has a 457. He's putting a bunch of money into his 457. He does not have any tax deductible options available to him anymore, and he wants to save some more money. So does he do a traditional IRA and not get the tax deduction for it, but get tax deferred growth out of a traditional IRA? Or does he do the Roth IRA? The Roth IRA is a lot better
yes.
than that non-deductible traditional IRA. It's also better than investing personally, because even personal, where I can get preferential capital gains treatment, qualified dividend treatment, it's preferential. It doesn't mean it's absolutely tax-free. Whereas the Roth IRA, as we talked, in 5 years, will be tax-free. So the Roth IRA, in his case, even though he's old, you're like 59, oh my gosh, the Roth IRA still makes a lot of sense for him because of everything else that's going on in his world.
Yeah, so age is not the primary factor. It's a consideration, but it's not the primary consideration. What would you say is the primary consideration for most people considering a Roth? Would it be tax brackets? What?
Well, tax brackets are a big consideration, but not the only consideration. The use of the money. We talked quite a bit about a first-time home buyer. And the first-time home buyer made a lot more sense for a lot of people to do it on a Roth IRA, even though they were in a higher tax bracket, and they may have actually saved some money from the deductible side of it from a traditional 401k or traditional IRA, the Roth still made more sense because of the use of the money. But for most people, it will go back to the tax savings today, if any, and the taxability of the distribution in the future, if any. Where am I going to get my advantage? Do I get a bigger advantage by deducting it today, assuming I can deduct it, or do I get a bigger advantage by having tax-free income in the future? It's not the same answer for everybody. There are people that make a very large income right now where that tax-deductible 401k makes a lot more sense than the Roth 401k, because when they ultimately retire, they're not going to have anywhere near as much income. Maybe they're playing catch-up. They're getting a little, and they're able to save money now, but they've only got maybe 10 or 15 years. They're making $200,000-$300,000 a year now, but when they retire, they're going to be only having $50,000-$70,000 a year. Well, we have to look at those brackets. Which one makes more sense? The deduction today and having that extra money. I like the idea of having the deduction today, especially if you're 50 years of age or older. You can deduct $24,000, and the tax savings on that $24,000 is about, oh, just at the 25% income tax bracket, ignoring the state, $6,000? How much could I put into a Roth IRA? $6,500 if I'm 50. So the tax savings of putting the money into the traditional 401k basically frees up enough tax dollars to fund my Roth IRA for that person.
Yeah, I mean, it can come down to that. It takes some accounting to know how you're doing it, but yes, it can. The money that actually would have gone toward taxes, you can use to your advantage and put it inside of a Roth IRA.
But it's not always the tax bracket, because you do have to understand what your bracket's going to be in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people that are making $50,000-$60,000 a year today, and they're playing catch up, and they're in a fairly low bracket right now. They'd be in the 15% bracket after deductions, and so that would generally lead somebody to believe, well, do the Roth, always do the Roth in the 15% bracket. No, it's not always do the Roth in the 15% bracket, because that person's putting $5,000 or $10,000 away now. They're going to build up maybe $200,000 by the time they retire, $300,000. And they're going to be taking, $10,000 a year out of their Roth IRA, along with their Social Security. They're probably not even in a tax bracket. Deduction today is still better than the potential tax treatment later. On the other side, it may be that they have some money already saved up, and that's going to fill up that $10,000, $15,000 mm-hmm. of distribution. And if they tried to build up more, all it's going to do is create a bunch of tax on their Social Security that they wouldn't have otherwise had to pay. So they're paying 15% now, but later they may pay, when you look at the tax on the Social Security, 27% reality-wise. There is no 27% bracket, but there's a reality of it.
It's a dollar amount that winds up being 27%.
So in that case, building up Roth for them makes more sense.
It's hard to tell, though. I mean, it's hard to really look forward, especially if you're in your 30s or whatever. Looking forward 30, 35.
Fund everything you can fund when you're 30.
That's probably very good advice. Although with a Roth, I mean, what you really want is to be in a low tax bracket now, and you want it to not only be, in the highest tax bracket when it comes out, but you also want it to have grown
by a million percent.
I mean, that's really the way you stick it to the man. Okay, we got some more emails coming up. Your phone calls, lines open right now. Fill them up. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back. Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here till the top of the hour. Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, taking your phone calls, taking your emails, talking to you about your money and everything else. You can also email us besides calling us at 877-PLANNER, and we got lines open right now, 877-752-6637. So email us at our website, wealthed.com. There's a place there that says find your answer. You click on that and send us an email. We'll get to the emails in just a couple of moments here while we wait for folks to call 877-PLANNER. Wealthed.com, that's your source for other programs as well, including the Social Security Show. This happens every Tuesday at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You can join me, Johnny Dean, and this guy, Professor Rick Plum, every Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and learn about Social Security. It's about strategies. It's about laws. It's about the changes in Social Security. It's all about answering your questions and giving you strategies with regard to Social Security, because that is the foundation for many, if not most, people's retirement plans. It is a guaranteed form of income for people who are receiving it, and you should know about it. As complicated as it can be, your situation is yours, and if you're understanding how it works, you should tune in. Questions, we will answer them for you there on the Social Security Show, wealthed.com, every Tuesday. Be there, because we're going to be there. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Again, our website is wealthed.com. That's where you send us an email. Wiley, McDonough, Georgia. Can a contribution be made to a 2015 403B before April 15th of 2016? This is kind of like what we were talking about with Roths.
Well, it can be made way before April 15th. It has to be made before December 31st, actually. No, I know what you're getting to. No, you cannot make a contribution now for a 403B and have it count for 2015. 403Bs, 401Ks, simple plans, 457 plans, those are salary deferral plans. The money that goes into those plans comes out of your paycheck. And it comes out of a paycheck, and it only counts for the year that the paycheck is issued. So if you're getting a paycheck now, you defer something out of it now, it's a deferral for the 2016 paycheck. Therefore, it's a 2016 deferral. It counts for tax year 2016. You cannot do a makeup contribution to one of these salary deferral plans after the end of the year. Had to come from a paycheck during that year.
Yeah, and
IRAs are different.
I've heard of people who say, well, you know, I put off my salary for this reason or that reason, and they owe it to me, you know, still owe me a checks for November and December. So even though it's here in, you know, whatever month it is, the next year.
Right. But even let's say you earned a bonus and you know.
Yeah, same thing.
And so as of December 31st, you'd earned a $10,000 bonus, and they pay you the $10,000 bonus in January. And you withhold money from that bonus check. I mean, you earned that bonus in 2015, but it was paid to you in 2016. You deferred the money in 2016. It's a 2016 deferral. That's the way it works. When did it get deferred? What paycheck did it come out of? When was that paycheck issued? If the paycheck was issued in 2015, it's a 2015 contribution. If the paycheck was issued in 2016, it's a 2016 deferral.
Yes, because it'll be counted on the 2016 taxes.
Yep.
That's why there are people who defer, who say, don't pay me my bonus or don't pay me my salary or whatever. They work it out with their employer and say, pay it to me after the first of the year, because for whatever reason, taxes, I don't want that income to show up on this year's tax return. Well, it won't, even though I earned it back in, you know, 2015 or whenever.
And I have people ask me, well, how come I can make a contribution to an IRA up to the due date of my tax return? And the answer is, because Congress said so.
Do they say it with that same kind of attitude that you just put in there? That
sort of snarky there,
sort of haughty, sort of, you know, look at me. This question.
They're different. I mean, one of them is funded by you out of your checking account. The other one's funded out of a paycheck. They allow it to come to an IRA up until you file your return. They don't it's got to come from your paycheck on the other one. Why? Because that's the way our tax code reads. Unfortunately, I don't have a better answer than that. And sometimes, you know, as a parent, you've used the line, I said so, with your kids. Maybe you didn't, but that's always a fun one. This is what happens with Congress this time.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, 877-PLANNER, and once again, emails at wealthed.com. Bob in Lakeland, Florida. Bob actually wrote this in a little while ago. We're just getting to it now. I apologize for the delay on that. But Bob says, my mother gets $13,200 Social Security, plus a pension of $8,400 a month. She does have $200,000 in savings. Her ALF fees, now what are those, by the way?
Assisted living.
Okay, got it.
Assisted living facility.
Okay, our fees are $52,000 a year. My accountant says she has too much income for me to claim her as a dependent, but I had hoped that if she paid the $21,000 a year, her annual income, toward the assisted living facility, that I might be able to pay the difference personally and use that as a deduction to do some Roth conversions. Is my accountant correct? Thanks, love the show. Also, not only is his accountant correct, what about his strategy here?
Well, his strategy is dependent upon whether his accountant's correct or not.
Yes, so let's start with that.
Your accountant's correct. Sorry. Well, for one thing, you're not providing more than half her support, so that means you can't do it. The other thing is she has more than $6,300 of pension income, which means, you know, she has $8,400, which means she's got more income than is allowed for you to take her as a dependent. So you're not allowed to take her as a dependent for this point. Now, it's just the way it works. So you can't take her as a dependent, therefore you can't take the deduction, which means you can't do the strategy you wanted to do.
And that's the end of that?
Pretty much.
Okay. What he explain what he's trying to do here.
Well, he wants to take his mom as a dependent on his tax return. And there are times when you can take a parent as a dependent on your return. But the two key ones that he's falling short of are you providing more than half of her support? She's paying for her, you know, her assisted living from her savings and from her income. So he's not providing half of her support. Is her income over a certain threshold? And her income is over, and basically the threshold is the standard deduction. And it's over the standard deduction. And so he's not going to get her as a dependent.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate the way it is. But that's the way it is.
Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Here, this was one question that had come up prior to the previous hour, and I'm going to throw it in because we could do a lot of, we could ask this question and have a 20, 25-minute answer. But it's, when do you consider doing the Roth 401k versus the traditional 401k?
Well, when do I consider it?
Yes.
My general leaning is the younger I am, the more likely I'm going to do Roth. And even though I said it's not necessary, this is a general leaning. And the older I am, I'm going to do the traditional. But I am going to look further and say, okay, what are my tax brackets? Am I specifically for the person that's not the younger person? If you're in the older category, 55 plus in this age group, and what I'm looking at, or 50 plus, what is my tax bracket now? How much do I already have deferred? What is my potential tax bracket when I retire? On the younger side, I'm going to default to the Roth until you can give me a good reason not to do it. On the older side, I'm going to default to the traditional until you give me a good reason not to do it. If I'm 50 and I'm worried that I might have to dip into this for education, then I might do the Roth instead of the traditional. If I look like I'm going to have a lot of tax-free or taxable income in the future, I'm going to go towards the Roth even though I'm older. And so it's all about, at that point, why am I using the money and what is it going to be either now or in the future? So I'm going to defer, you know, my final decision until I see your specific situation. But as a general rule of thumb, the younger I am, the more likely the Roth. The older I am, the more. Now, the older I am up to a point.
Yeah, see, here we go again with the
once
age with regard
60,
to the Roth.
65 and I've already built up a really nice tax deferred portfolio, I may be going all the way into the Roth. Once I've retired and I've got a side job that I'm making $15,000-$20,000 a year at, or whatever the number is, more than $6,500, I'm going to probably default back over to the Roth IRA. Even though I'm older, I like the Roth IRA. If I'm 70 years old or older and I'm still working, well, there's no question at that point. Well, there's a question of 401k or Roth, but I like the Roth IRA at that point, unless I just haven't saved up very much, and I can get a tax deduction, and it's going to save me money now, and it's not going to cost me later.
Now, why over age 70 in this case?
Well, I'm not allowed to do a traditional IRA.
Yeah.
But I could do a 401k. Now it's back to tax brackets. Am I working full-time? Am I working part-time? You know, if it's not my company, I don't have a required minimum distribution from either one, as long as I don't own 5% or more of the 401k, mm-hmm. the company. And so I'm not worried about the RMD at that point. at the moment, but I am worried about it later on.
Now putting money into a Roth 401k isn't reducing the taxability of your income right now.
No, but it's creating a tax-free pool later on.
Well, that's what.
So what people is the asked. Cost They've of said, putting the money in today?
Right. So if maybe you're just looking to put in more inside underneath the Roth umbrella than the $5,500 or $6,500 that the Roth IRA allows.
And a lot of times it's not just what is my tax bracket when I ultimately retire and I start potentially pulling money out of my Roth IRA. Because if I've built up a good enough portfolio and I'm going to leave something to the heirs, what is their tax bracket too? Somebody, what is the tax that's going to be paid on it or not when the money comes out, either in my lifetime or later?
Right. So if it doesn't matter to you and the heirs that you're getting that you're leaving this Roth to, whether it's a 401k or an IRA, if they happen to be in a large tax bracket at that time and you know that's the case, well, then you may want to consider the Roth because, hey, tax-free. All right, 877-PLANNER. We have a couple more emails to get to and your phone calls. Oh, trivia as well when we come back, if we have time. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing sounds vaguely like ELO, does it not? By popular request in the control room. Hey, I'm fine with it. Some people are, some people aren't. This is Bucket Strategy Investing. You got us here till the top of the hour, so get your calls in, 877-PLANNER. We'll do a couple more emails, too, if we have time. 877-752-6637. That's our phone number right here in the studio. Give us a call. Now, coming up tomorrow on this program, assuming all goes as planned, we're going to be talking a little bit more about IRAs, but this particular time, we're going to be talking about getting money out of the IRA. You know, we've talked about before 59 and a half. If you need to get money out of your traditional IRA or in some cases your Roth IRA, earnings we're talking about there, if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you're going to be staring at penalties because they don't like you to take it out. Well, there may be a way around that. In fact, there is a way or two, and it has to do with code section 72T. Don't get bogged down in things like that, but that's what it is. If you need to get money out of your IRA, there are ways to do that, strategies to employ. So we'll be talking about it on this program tomorrow, right here, Bucket Strategy Investing. Okay, before the emails, trivia time. We can't leave out trivia. We had to do an extra one this year for the, you know, extra day this month. This comes from the Urban Institute, and they say an average working couple in America that turned 65 years old in 2015 is projected to receive $427,000 in Medicare benefits over their lifetime, which they note is more than three times the $141,000 they paid in Medicare taxes during their working years. Okay, they're making a lot of assumptions here, Professor Plum.
Well, that's, you know, the average person has benefits of X being paid over their life expectancy. And the average person pays Y amount of Medicare premiums. That's part of our payroll. When we get paid, there's several deductions on the bottom of that paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know, federal withholding, state withholding, FICA, and Medicare. Now, FICA, if you're lucky enough to make more than $118,500, stops. FICA is 6.2% for an employee of all wages up to $118,000, but it stops at $118,000.
That's what's called the wage base.
But Medicare doesn't have a wage base. So if you have a large bonus, if you make a lot of money, more than the $118,500, you get to pay Medicare premiums on all of your earned income. And now for those of you who have large investment incomes or large incomes and then have investment income on top of that, and you're individual with more than $200,000 of adjusted gross income, married couple with more than $250,000, you get to pick up more Medicare tax, either on wages or an additional almost 1% from what you're already paying, or on investment income of 3.8%. So we need to pay a lot more now than we used to. But they're talking about, what is it, what was the total amount in? $147,000?
$141,000. Well, you're talking about the average amount? Yeah,
$141,000 in, and you get $450,000 out. Okay, sounds like a really good deal. But that's over a 40-year lifetime. What would that have earned if you had actually done it. Now, I'm not,
you're talking about taking the taxes instead of...
They're making it sound like you're getting three times back for every dollar you put
in. That's the whole point, yeah.
But what could you have earned? I am not advocating taking it away and doing it on yourself. But they made it sound better than it may have really been. Because if you were able to put that premium into an investment, even just an S&P 500 or something like that over a 40, 50-year working life, it probably would have grown to the same amount. So, yeah, it is what it is. We still have to deal with it.
We do, and as you had said before, that it's skewed a little bit higher based on the
People that make people more than the wage base.
Yeah, because you get movie stars supposedly, baseball players,
athletes.
Football players, athletes who are being paid supposedly, you know, through these types of wages. They stop getting their FICA taken out after about two or three games. But after that, the Medicare wages still continue. The taxes on the Medicare. There is no cap on that.
Right. But, I mean, the amount of money you get back from Medicare really is not income-driven. Whether you paid in, you know, very little over the course of your working life,
right,
or you paid in a whole lot, the care is the same care.
Yeah, and that's another important thing to note. Okay, let's get to Ramona in Carlos, Minnesota. Question on the email. My husband was getting Social Security disability and died in 2015. Should I seek Social Security when I turn 60 this April, or should I wait?
Well, Ramona, it depends on whether you're working and how long you might live, and also what your benefit may be. So if your husband's benefit is a lot more than yours, I may consider trying to wait till age 66 to take a benefit. If I'm working, I'm definitely going to wait, because if I'm working and then I'm subject to the retirement earnings test, and even if I apply, I'll get aced out of it at some point. And now, when I say earning, you're making more than $16,000, then you're going to have a problem getting a benefit. Even though it's a widow's benefit, the retirement earnings test still applies. So you have to look at that. But if you're not working, you don't have a great deal of longevity, or your benefit is equal to or greater than what your late husband's benefit was projected to be, sure, taking it at 60 makes sense. Leave yours alone. Take yours. Flip over to your own at age 70. And so there's a lot going on here without just saying, oh, yeah, or always defer it. Let's take a look at both benefits, life expectancy, whether you're working, and those will help us, you know, lead us down the path of an appropriate decision for you.
Yeah, once you have a widow's benefit, it's a little bit different than the spouse's benefit. I mean, the amount is calculated, and it's not that you have to start taking your benefit before you take the widow's benefit.
Right, but he was on disability, so we know what his benefit is. It was basically his retirement benefit. It's close to that. So we know what his benefit's going to be. It will be reduced by almost 30% if she takes it at 60. So is that a better deal? And then waiting for her own at age 70, maybe hers will pass what his would have been at even at 66. That makes a lot of sense. Is hers relatively small? But again, the biggest question is, are you working? Work before full retirement age and being potentially eligible for a Social Security benefit. They're just a train wreck.
Somebody who's listening closely might have said, well, wait a minute, to sign up for his Social Security when I turn 60, how is that possible?
Widows are eligible for a widow's benefit, or a widower, if you want to go that side. As early as age 60. Now, it is a reduced benefit, but you are eligible for a widow or widower's benefit if you are not working or not making more than, call it $16,000. You can take a benefit as early as 60, even if you don't have kids, even if you don't have anybody else dependent on you.
Yeah, is it reduced by the same rate that the regular benefit is reduced?
Oh, I mean, the regular benefit's reduced 25% over a four-year period of time. This is reduced 28.5% over a six-year period of time.
Okay, so it's not like you're...
It's a different reduction.
Yeah, you're losing more. Okay, we're out of time. I didn't get to all the emails, but we'll get to more of them tomorrow. If you need the Brain Trust Off the Air, specifically Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors from Lucia Capital Group, you can give them a call at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.